Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Bet, six lines up by the Tanur Rabbanan. Where it says, Mitan Rabbanan, Mitoch Shnei Mar Achbar, when it comes to the psukim by the Shvatzim, it uses the term Achbar, Shumei Ani Afilu Achbar Shebiyam, Shishmo Achbar. I would think that subsumed under the category of Achbar when it comes to the Shvatzim is not simply Achbar itself, but also Achbar Shebiyam. And the assumption of the Gemara is, and we'll see this later on, that all of the Shvatzim, the eight Shvatzim that are mentioned in the Torah, have an equivalent in the Yam, in the ocean, except for the Chulda. Chulda is something that only has it on land, but no equivalent in the water. So here, when we have the Achbar, we're talking about a mouse and the sea mouse. So we would suggest now that when the Torah uses the term Achbar, it doesn't simply mean Achbar, it means Achbar or anything under that category, which mean Achbar Sheba'aretz and Achbar Sheba'yam. Bidinu, and it makes sense. Timei b'chuda v'timei b'achbar. By the chuda, which is one of the shvatzim, it is tamei and achbar. Ma chuda mina gadel al aretz, ach achbar mina gadel al aretz. So one possibility is we'll compare it to chuda. But just like by chuda, there's only one manifestation of chuda, which is on the land. The weasel only is on the land. Then so too over here, by the achbar, by the mouse, we also only have one manifestation of the achbar, and that means al aretz. Oh, klach l'durei achazu. Or maybe we should go the other way. Timei b'chuda v'timei b'achbar. Torah tells us that a chuda is tamei and an achbar is tamei. Ma chuda, kol shishma chuda. Just like by the chuda, anything that is called a chuda is tamei. True, it only manifests itself on the land. But anything that's called a chuda is tamei. Ach achbar, kol shishma achbar, afil achbar shveyam, shishma achbar. So I would have thought that under the category of achbar, anything that is subsumed there would be Tameh. There's a manifestation on the land and the water. So both of them would be Tameh. So Gemara is left. If you just argue simply from a logical standpoint, it's unclear which way to go. I could argue, just like Chuda, which only has a manifestation on the land, so too, Achbar only on the land is Tameh. Or, could argue the other way around, which is, that Chuda, anything that's called a Chuda is Tameh, so too Achbar, anything that's called an Achbar is Tameh. So what do I do? Talmud Lomar, al haaretz. When it says about the shvatzim, it calls them that they are al haaretz, those that are on the land. So now when I say al haaretz, which seems to be a solution to our problem, which is that only shvatzim that are land shvatzim are problematic, there is actually two ways to read al haaretz, which is e al haaretz. If I think about just al haaretz, yochol al haaretz yitma, yerad hayam lo yitma, I could suggest now that when it's on land, there are two ways to view on land. On land can be a definition of which type of sheretz is tamei, but it also can tell us the location of where a sheretz is tamei. So yel aretz yechol al aretz yitma yerad hayam lo yitma. That when it's on land, it is tamei. When it's in the water, it is not tamei. So in that case, how do I know which one it is? How do I know whether al aretz is the definition of which sheretz is tamei? Or is it the location in which the sheretz is tamei? The difference being, if it's telling us which sheretz is tamei, then it's telling us only land shvatzim are tameim. But the other option is that all shvatzim, meaning that the achbar shebayam and the achbar shebaretz are tamei, but they're only tameim when they're al haaretz, when they're on the land. But if it goes into the water, they would no longer be tamei, or they'd no longer be classified tamei in the water. Tamar lomar hashoreitz, that it's anywhere, it's komakom shishoreitz. Any place that it moves, any place that it goes. Which means that the land right now, what our assumption is, that only thing that would be tamei is the land sheretz. And the land sheretz would be tamei both on land and in the water. Because it's komakom shesheretz, any place that it moves. Well, if it moves in the water, it's shat that floats in the water, swims in the water, then it would also be tamei there, because that's where it moves. Oh, the other possibility of the word sheretz can be, anyway, lo hashoreitz. Kol ha-mashritz yitma. Sheretz has two meanings. Sheretz can mean to movement, to spread around, to creepy crawly, to team. Or sheretz can also mean in the reproductive sense, that sheretz means it gives birth, it reproduces, it multiplies. So which one is the meaning over here? Is the meaning komakom shesheretz, meaning anywhere that it's found and it teams? That means both on land and the water. Or does it mean all those that reproduce? Because kol hashritz yitma, she'in mashritz, lo yitma. But if it doesn't reproduce, it will not be tamei. This is the relevance to our Gemara. Otzi, then I would have excluded achbar shechetzio basar vechetzio adama. Jane pray or vei. I'll exclude the achbar of our Mishnah, which is created through spontaneous generation. It does not reproduce. So therefore, it would be excluded from the word hashoreitz, because it does not reproduce. Vidinu, and again, here we go. Let's see what the logic would dictate. Timei b'chuda, timei b'achbar. The Torah is mitamei by the chuda, is mitamei by the achbar. Ma chuda, kol shishma chuda, ach achbar, kol shishma achbar. It's like by the chuda, anything that's called a chuda is tamei. So tovir, anything that's called an achbar will be tamei. Avi, therefore I will include achbar shechetzio basar vechetzio adama. Therefore I'll include achbar, which is spontaneously generated achbar, because it's called an achbar, so that should be included. Or maybe the other way around, machuda prey or vei. Maybe just like the chuda reproduces, af achbar prey or vei. Tamalomar basheretz. Tamalomar basheretz means anything that is sheretz, meaning anything that moves. So anything that moves, anything that walks, includes the sheretz that is spontaneously generated, like to yay, to come to include, achbar, shechetzio basar, shechetzio adama. The Gemara now concludes, we had three words that were used in the psukim. We had alaretz, we had hashoretz, and then we had basheretz. On all of these three items, the question is, what do we learn from them? So the way the Gemara now has unfolded, Gemara gave us different possibilities on these cases, but the Gemara concluded like this, that alaretz teaches us that only the achbar shebaaretz is one of the eight shvatzim. The achbar shebayam is not included. That's what we learn from alaretz. But then we had a question with regards to the achbar shebaaretz. Is it only tamei alaretz, or is it maybe even tamei bayam? The answer to that question was hashoretz. Anywhere that it moves, then it's classified as tamei. So far we have the achbar shebaaretz is the one that's tamei, not the achbar shebayam. Number two is the achbar shebaaretz is tamei, whether it's al haaretz or whether it's in the water because of hashoreitz. Then we have the last limud of basheretz comes to tell me that even a spontaneously generated achbar will be tamei, even though it's not mashritz in the sense of prey or vei. Nevertheless, because of the riboy of basheretz, that tells us that even that is included. So amalei haumi rabbanon the rovo. One of the rabbanon said to rovo, Ema, why do you have to go this way? Let me tell you how you can learn these three words and come up with a different conclusion. Let us say, basheretz, la tuye achbar shechetzio basar, v'chetzio adama. Okay, we'll leave the basheretz alone and tell you, yes, that spontaneously generated mice are included under the category of shvatzim, and they will be tamei. But rather, hashoretz, kol shehu shoretz, v'afilu achbar shebeyam. But I will use the term hashoreitz to teach us, not that wherever it's found, the achbar shebaaretz is tamei, but rather, hashoreitz tells me anywhere the achbar is found, anywhere it's shoreitz, there it'll be tamei. So the achbar shebaaretz and the achbar shebayam, both of them will be tamei because they're both shoreitz. Kol shehu shoreitz, afilu achbar shebayam, anything that moves. Ve'im ishum al haaretz. Oh, what about the word al haaretz? What am I going to do with that? Al haaretz yitma, yirad hayam lo yitma. The al haaretz will define where it is tamei, but rather than what is tamei. So this alternative of learning, we learn from al haaretz that it's only achbar shebaaretz that's tamei. From hashoreitz, we learned that in all locations it is tamei. That's whether it's al haaretz or layam. This alternative that's being suggested by this rabbana Tarova is, no, let us say hashoreitz means anything that creeps, crawls, and reproduces. That's both achbar shebaaretz and achbar shebayam. What are you going to do with al haaretz? Al haaretz will be that they're only tamei al haaretz. That was your question before. This achbar shebayam, what does it mean that it's tamei al haaretz? So here Rashi seems to suggest this achbar shebayam can make its way onto the land. It's not clear the way that he says it's alive or dead when it ends up on the land, but it seems to be that it's alive even. That this achbar shebayam can also make it onto al haaretz, and if it's found al haaretz, it'll be tamei. It's found bayam, whether it's achbar shebayam or the achbar shebaaretz, it will not be mitamei. So this is the alternative suggestion of the limud for these psukim. Rava responds to him and says, Amalei, michar de shavite liyam, after you already said that the achbar shebayam and the achbar shebaaretz are equivalent, makom tuma, when it comes to where it's mitamei, mali hocha, mali hocha. Why should it make a difference where it is? Meaning, if you already suggest that an achbar shebaaretz is tamei, and an achbar shebayam is tamei, then it should be irrelevant where the sheretz is found. Because if you say the Achbar Shebayam is Tamei, then why should you limit in any way the Achbar Shebaaretz that will only be Tamei al Aretz, not by Yam? That doesn't seem to make so much sense. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'hai al Aretz, mi boyile lo tzi safek tumat safa. How can you use this al Aretz that's found in the Parshat Shratzim to teach us about the limitations of the Shratzim that are Tamei, only those that are land Shratzim, not the water Shratzim? But don't we need that to exclude a case of Savek Tumat Safa? Case of when you have Savek Tumat that's floating on the water. Damar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abdime Ala Aretz. On the land. Lotzi Savek Tumat Shet Safa. Comes to exclude a case of Savek Tumat that's floating on the water. So when I says, Tarte Ala Aretz Ktive. Ala Aretz is used twice. Once to teach us about the Savek Tumat. And once to teach us about the limitation of Shratzim to land Shratzim and not to water Shratzim. Now what this Safek Tuma al Aretz is, let's think back to early in the Masechta, but we learn out Safek Tuma from the Sota. So by Safek Tuma by the Sota, we say that if it's a Safek Tuma b'shuta rabim tahor, if it's a Safek Tuma in the public domain, then we classify it as tahor. Safek Tuma b'shuta yachid, over there we classify it as being tameh. So over here we're talking about a case of Safek Tuma b'shuta yachid in the private domain. So the principles of Safek Tumah would have led us to believe that this Safek Tumah should be Tameh. Along comes the Pasuk of Al Aretz to teach us that the Safek Tumah is only relevant when it's Al Aretz, when it's on the ground, on solid ground. When it's floating along the water, there's a different din of Safek Tumah. And when it's floating on the water, we will say Safek Tumah is Le Tahara, it is the Kula, even though it's b'yakom ha-yachid. So you have a case where the tumah is floating on the water, the sheretz that's mate floating on the water, and a person is safek naga, safek lo naga. He's not sure if he came into contact with the sheretz or not. So even though it's tumah b'shut ha-yachid, and it should otherwise be tameh, we're going to see over here, this dispensation, this limud of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is going to teach us that it's a safek tumah, shetzafal panei amayim that's floating on the water, therefore we're going to classify him as being tahor and not tameh. So now, Tarabanan, Hatzav, Liminehu. When it comes to the Tzav Liminehu, so the Tzav is either a toad, could be a turtle, a tortoise. It's not clear what the exact translation is. Lahavi Harod. So when it says Liminehu, it comes to include the Arod. The Arod generally, in modern Hebrew, is translated as a scorpion. We're going to see in a second in the Gemara that it's actually based on the Gemara, a product of crossbreeding between a snake and a Tzav. V'chein ha-nifilim, or the alternative here is ben ha-nifilim, which is translated as a skink. V'salamandra, the salamander. All of these are subcategories, subset of the species of the tzav. U'kshiyah Rabbi Kiva magil pasuk zeh. When Rabbi Kiva reached to reach this pasuk, omer, ma rabu masecha Hashem. How wondrous are your creations, Hashem. Yesh lecha briyot gudolot bayam. Yesh lecha briyot gudolot bayabasha. You have these unbelievable creations in the ocean, you have in the sea, and you have these unbelievable creations on the land. Shibiyam. When it comes to those that are in the sea, Imalei Olot Beyabasha, if they are to come up onto the dry land, Biyad Meitot, they would die instantly. Shibiyabasha, those that are on the dry land, Imalei Yordot Yam, if they were to go into the water, Miyad Meitot. So each one has its own location. Yesh lecha briyot gedolot ba'ur. You have some great creations that live in the fire, in heat. Yesh lecha briyot gedolot ba'avir, gedolot ba'avir. So you have others that grow or develop in the air. Shiba'ur, those that grow in the fire, ilmalei olot avir, if they come out into the air, then miyad meitot, they would die right away. Shiba'avir, those that are up in the air, ilmalei yordot ba'ur, if they end up in the fire, miyad meitot. And ma, rabu, masech Hashem. How wondrous are your creations, Hashem. Couple things to note here. One is the salamandra that we just saw before. We've seen this before in the Gemara, the salamandra, which supposedly grows out of the fire. If you take the blood of the salamandra and you place it on a person, it's a fireproofing agent. It protects the person. And we had that Gemara, Hezekiah's father wanted to be mavir him lamolech, and his mother put on him the blood of the salamandra to fireproof him, so that he would not be singed or burnt up by the fire, being mavir b'no ba molech or ba'ish. So that's one case where we've seen this before. The other interesting case here is with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, in terms of the Gemara in Brachot, where it tells us in the Gemara in Brachot that when Rabbi Akiva is in prison, and there where he's with Pappas ben Yehuda, and Pappas ben Yehuda says, Rabbi Akiva, Frey Ashrei Shetafasto, it's a good thing that you were caught for teaching Torah. And that's the thing to be caught for, because at least then you can say something good. And Rabbi Akiva is teaching Torah Berabim, and they ask him, why did you teach Torah Berabim? And he says, because fish that is in the water, if the fox tells him to come out onto the Yabasha, what does the fish say? Ma, when I'm in the Mayim, it's already dangerous enough that I should come up onto the Yabasha, which is not my location. Kach Yisrael, so too, Bnei Yisrael, when it comes to them in Torah, when they're in the Torah, they're in their environment. They're in their proper location. They leave their environment, they're going to die. So better that they learn Torah, and they can be nitpas aleha, than to leave the Torah and then be lost, because they're out of their environment. So here you see Rabbi Akiva talking about the animals, that each one has its own environment. If you leave that environment, you die. Very similar to the concept that Rabbi Akiva puts forth in the Gemara in Brachot, about Limud HaTorah and Klal Yisrael's connection to Torah. It's very similar to this statement over here. All right, now, Tan Rabbanan. Kosh yesh b'yabasha, yesh b'yam. Any sheretz that's found on dry land is also found in the ocean. Chutz min ha-chulda. This is what we discussed before, except for the weasel, the chulda is only al haaretz. There's no equivalent b'yam. That's what we saw before, the achbar and the achbar sh'b'yam. The mouse and the sea mouse. Samar b'zera, my kuro. What's the pasuk? Hazinu ko yoshvei chaled. And they listen, all you that are yoshvei chaled, that live with the chalad or the weasel, the chulda. Those that live with the chulda, those that live on dry land. So you see the people, human beings that live on dry land are called yoshvei chalad as compared to the chulda. Samaravuna brei Rav Yeshua, bivarei denarsh, eina mina yishuv. So that's the gears of Rashi. Bivarei, and it sounds like Rashi's translated name as beavers. The beavers of this place called Narsh, eina mina yishuv, don't have a din of shuretzei, Ha Yabasha. Not called Shatzim of Ala Aretz, because they are considered to be water animals, not land animals. So therefore they don't have a din of Shatzim. That's the beaver, according to Rashi. Beinotam has an alternative girsa. Beinotam's girsa is Bivarei Vidnarsh. And he says they are names of locations. They're names of places, Enamina Yishuv. They don't belong to mankind, meaning that their behavior, their immoral acts, their evilness, makes them not a part of the Yishuv. And therefore, they are called, these two locations are singled out as not being Hazino Kol Yoshvei Chaled. They're not part of the settled world because of their actions. Amra Papa, Bishamta Narsh, Tarbe, Mashche, Valyute. When it comes to the people of Narsh, Bishamta, they should be in excommunication, place of excommunication, Tarbe, its fats, Mashche, its skins, the aliyate, its tail or tail fat. So obviously this is a mashal or a parable, which is that tarbe, mashche, aliyate means all the people of the city, all the people of that area should be in that position because they are all evil from top to bottom. It means like kikadon kegadol, from the zakein to the tzair, from the gadol to the katan. They're all in this, should be placed into shamta because of the evilness of the location called Narsh. So now, that would accord with the Rabbeinu Tam's girsa. That would seem to make some sense that if before we were talking about Bivarei and Shuket the Narsh, talking about two locations at Eim and Yishuv because of their resha, their evilness. And then Rapapa says about Narsh, Bishamta Narsh. On the other hand, the way Rashi is reading it, Bivarei Denarsh connects to the previous Gemara. And now we have a Papa having another drasha or a play on this issue of Narsh, that not only are the beavers not considered from the Yishuv, but the people themselves should not be part of the Yishuv. Eretz, Shimi Dvar Hashem. Amara Papa, Loava Narsh, Shmoa Dvar Hashem. That Narsh did not want to listen to the word of Hashem. Amara Gido Marav, Narsha'a, Nashkech, Mani Kachich. He's telling you about these people of Narsha'a. If a Narsha'a kisses you, gives you a greeting and gives you kisses you, Mani Kachich, count your teeth. Meaning that they are such thieves, they are such dishonest people, that after they kiss you, you should count your teeth to make sure that all your teeth are still in your mouth. An expression, obviously a colloquial expression, but to give a sense of how evil or difficult these people were. Nahar Pikod Da'ad Abyech. If someone from the place Nahar Pakod agrees to accompany you or is accompanying you, Miglima Shapira Dechazi Alach. The reason he's accompanying you is because he saw you wearing a nice coat, and his eyes are on that nice coat. He's looking to steal that nice coat from you, and the reason that he's accompanying you is not because he's so kind and so generous, but rather he wants to stay along to find an opportunity to take your possessions. Pumpadita Lavyech, if someone from Pumpadita is accompanying you, Ashne Yushpizech, should make sure to change your destination or your bed and breakfast where you plan on staying. And if you tell them where you're going to stay, they'll come and empty you out that night. So you have to deceive them about where you're going to stay so they don't show up that night and clear all your possessions out. So just an indication of these locations, a continuation of what we saw before in terms of the people of Narsh. But also now we see that there are people from Nahar Pakud and the people from Pumpadita, which their dishonesty and their immoral actions makes the need for one to be cautious when they're in contact or when they are being generous towards you. One should be careful about what their real intentions are. Okay, Amar Avona Bar Torta, Pamachat Alachti LeVaad. One time I went to the Va'ad. Now, Va'ad is used in different ways in the Gemara. A lot of times Va'ad means Va'ad Chachamim would be the convention. You know, the Chachamim getting together. Rashi over here says the Va'ad is Makom Rishayim Umar B'ei Kalayim. It was the cross-breeders convention. So he went to the cross-breeders convention. V'riti Nachash Shukaru Chalatav. I saw this unbelievable sight. The cross-breeders had this snake that was wrapped around a tav, it's a toad, a tortoise, a turtle, wrapped up together, meaning that they were procreating. The Amim, after some time, Yatsa Rudmi Binehem, the scorpion emerged from between them. This crossbreeding yielded a scorpion. Shabbat Lifnei Rabbi Shimon HaChassid, Amar Li, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hem Heviu Briyah Shelo Barati Bolami. The problem with Kilayim is that Hashem said, I've created the world and I put certain creatures on the world, and now they've created something that I didn't create. They created this crossbreed, something that I had not made by itself, Bolami. Afaniya Bialayam Briya Shalobarati Bolami. These crossbreeders are performing Kilayim all the time, crossbreeding with Kilayim, bring in these new species, quote unquote. I'm gonna pay them back by bringing into the world something that will get them. And that is the arod. The arod which stings people, kills people. They who crossbred, I brought in the arrow to take revenge on them. It says, Ramamar, Kosh Tashmisham the Iburam Shaveh. If they're Tashmish, the way they perform, or the way they cohabitate, whether it's face to face or face to back, how the animals mount each other, the Iburam Shaveh, and their gestation period is equal, Yoladim, Umegadim Zemizeh. They can reproduce together and bring up of each other's species. Kosh Tashmisham the Iburam Shaveh. If they're mounting for reproduction and their gestation periods are not equal, in Yoladim, Umagadim Zemizeh, you cannot reproduce from them. And we know that's true by the Nachash and the Tzav. The Nachash and Tzav do not reproduce the same way, and they do not have the same gestation period. So how could it be possible that they would actually produce an alive offspring here? How come from between the Tzav and the Nachash they can produce a scorpion? Samarav, Nes Betoch Nes. That's a miracle within a miracle. Miracle in a miracle is that the two species got together, and then from amongst them, they produce something. Umar says, what do you mean, nes betoch nes? Hypronatohu. This is no nes. This is end up being something that is a punishment. So my nes betoch nes, leparnut. So it means not nes betoch nes, but nes betoch nes, leparnut, to punish them. Meaning these crossbreeders, these marbi'e kilayim, who did all this that upset Hashem, Hashem, to take revenge on them, has a nes betoch nes to punish them, that it produces the arod from their crossbreeding, which now attacks them and attacks human beings and causes damage. Alright, next Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to take us back to earlier in the Masechta. When we did it earlier in the Masechta, we kept referencing to this parak that we'll come back to the Tumah Tahara over here. This is the Mishnah that we mentioned numerous times, and that's Eiver Basar Medudulim Bebehema, that if you have a limb or flesh that is hanging off the animal, it's still attached to the animal, but it's hanging off. It's thinly attached. Then mitamim tumat ochlim bimkoman. Even in place, they are mitamei tumat ochlim. V'tzrichim hechsher. They're not automatically mukshar lekabel tumah, because tumat ochlim require hechsher. So these items will require hechsher. Nishchata behema. If the behema is then shechted, uchsheru bidameha. Then the dam ha-behema is makshir the ochel, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that dam shechita is makshir, so the dam shechita over here will be makshir. Because ein shechita usen nipu, this is something you saw earlier in the Masechta, that shechita doesn't make or doesn't have this item detached from the animal. So had shechita made this detached from the animal, it would have been independent of the animal, and the dam shechita wouldn't have a relevance to it. But here, since shechita ain't usen nipu, when you do shechita, everything on the animal remains attached. Therefore, this piece of basar could be tamei b'tumat ochlim. That basar that's attached can still get the quote-unquote benefits of being attached to the animal. Just like the animal is mukshar lekabel tumah al yidei the dam shechita, so too this piece that's hanging off will also be mukshar al yidei the dam shechita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, which we also saw earlier in the Masechta, lo uchshiru. The dam shechita is not makshir. Shechita itself might be makshir, but dam shechita is certainly not makshir. Meita habema, on the other hand, if the animal dies, habasar tzarich hekshir. Then the basar needs hekshir because mita otsenipu. Dying does cause a detachment of the item, a halachic detachment of the item. Therefore, if the animal dies, then what you have left is the piece here. This piece is not tamei tumat nevela. A dead animal, a carcass, is tamei tumat nevela. But this basar, since it was very slightly attached, very thinly attached, and mita osanipo, when it dies, it's as if it detaches at that moment. Since it detaches, it will not get tumat nevela, but rather, it will be classified as tumat ochlim, and that tumat ochlim will require heksher. Now here we're talking about basar, and not eiver. That's a very important distinction, because when it comes to eiver min achai is mitamei, tumat nevela. It has the same tumah, same level of tumah as a nevela. Whereas basar min achai is tahor legamre. So over here, you note that the Mishnah only said basar tzarich hechsher. Ha'ever mitamei mishum ever min achai. Because if mita osen nipo, if the death causes detachment, that means that this item was already detached while the animal was alive. It's detached when the animal is alive, it becomes ever min achai. And ever min achai is Metamei tumat nevela. Veina metamei mishum ever nevela, divrei Rabbi Meir. It has a din of ever min achai and not ever min nevela, even though both of them are metamei tumat nevela. We'll have to see in the Gemara what the distinction is between them, divrei Rabbi Meir, bishimen metaher. So it's not a problem, it's the hor, the gamre, this ever min achai, that mito oseni pu. The one thing to note here, Rashi points us out early in the Mishnah, why is it that this ochlim requires heksher? What is the end game? If an ever is hanging off the animal, what are the two possibilities of what could happen here? Either you could have shechita. Shechita is not osen nipo. Doesn't do nipo. So now what do you end up with? If it's in osen nipo, you do shechita on this animal. That could be included with the animal. It's hukshar ayadei the animal. If on the other hand, it's mita and mita osen nipo, what happens to this aver when it detaches? This aver when it detaches will become tamei, bitumat, aver minachai, which is tumat nevela. We have a principle. Then any ochel, then in the soap will reach tumah chamura. It's going to reach tumah chamura, then it doesn't require heksher. So why does this end, why does this Avraham Medul Dal require heksher if in the end it's going to end up with tumah chamura? So I gave the answer to many. But lekel lemeim rahever shesofula tamei tumah chamura, denim tamei tumat ever menachai ad shiyamot. It only becomes tamei tumat ever menachai when it dies. The shema lo yavodi de tumah chamura. The Shema Yishchatena. Because maybe you'll shecht it, vein shechita osen nipu. Because there are two outcomes. That's what I just described to you with the Eiver Menachai. This Eiver that is hanging off, it has two outcomes. One outcome is that it mita osen nipu and it becomes Eiver Menachai. The other possibility is that it remains attached. Shechita in osen nipu and it remains attached. If it remains attached, then it's not tamei at all. It remains tahor. So since there are two possibilities of what will happen to this Eiver Medul Dal, one is that it'll be tamei tumah chamura. The other is that it will be remain tahor. So if that's the case, you can't say about this aver that it does not require hechsher. It must require hechsher because it isn't guaranteed that sofo letamei tumah chamura. That's not a guarantee here. All right, so now let's go through the Gemara. Tumat ochlim in tumat nevela lo. The suggestion is that this es aver hamedudal and this basar hamedudal on the animal is mekabel tumah for tumat ochlim, but not mekabel tumah for tumat nevela. Hey chidami, what is this situation? What is this scenario here? Idem alin aruka, if they're able to regenerate, they're able to heal, then afilu tumat ochlim nami lo litamud. Then why should they be even tamei tumat ochlim? You're not going to eat it because it's going to heal. It's going to reattach to the animal. And if they are not able to heal or reattach the animal, tumat nevela nami litamud. They should be also tamei tumat nevela. Because either they're detached to gamre, they should be an ever menachai. If they're not detached to gamre, they should be part of the animal called tumat nevela. So Gemara says, no, the case here is olam dein malin aruka. It's a case where it does not heal. Vishani tumat nevela. Tumat nevela is different. Rachman amar ki pol. Pol minivlatam. And when it comes to nevela, it has to fall. Ad shipol. Ad shipol means until it detaches. Tumat nevela is only applicable when the item actually detaches. If it doesn't detach, then it doesn't have a din of nevela. So over here, you have this aver that is still attached. Since it's still attached, tumat nevela is not relevant. Tumat ochlim, that could be relevant, because tumat ochlim is something that has to do with the machshavat adam, what you think about it. Since you're thinking about using it for ochel, that can have tumat ochlim. But tumat nevela, until it falls off, until it severs, that's not called nevela. If you remember from earlier in the Masechta, it says, V'chi nipol minivlatam by shratzim, ha'kol zera zeirua. The Gemara earlier in the Masechta said we don't need it for shratzim. So therefore we're going to bring it over to nevelot. Chad eiver min ha-behema, demito sinipol ata. So one of them comes to teach us that an eiver min ha-behema, demita makes it osinipol, and makes it into eiver min ha-chai, is not considered detached. It doesn't have tumat nevela until it actually severs. Limud that we have here is that tumat nevela only applies when there's severing of the aver. Severing of the aver is relevant by aver minachai. By aver minachai, it's not called aver minachai until it separates from the animal. Even though it's just hanging on by a thin thread, that's not called an aver minachai. Aver minachai is when it detaches. So there are two ways to detach it. Just to physically detach it, or the other way is if the animal dies. Because mita osinipul, that's the limud we had earlier in the Masechta. The death causes a detachment, and then only then will it be mitameh tumat nevela. But that means, as long as it's still attached to the animal, there is no din of aver minachai, there is no din of tumat nevela. There will only be a din of tumat ochlim. Tanya nami ochi, we have a braita that supports that view. Ha'aver v'abasar ha'medul dolim ba'behema. U'urim b'chut ha'seara, and they are attached by the hair's breadth. I would think maybe they should be tamei tumat nevela, because as a din of eiver minachai, tamalomar yipol. Ad shipol, until it detaches. Nevertheless, tumat ochlim mitamu. They are mitamei tumat ochlim. And that's exactly what we are suggesting over here. Misayile the Rav Chiya bar Ashi. This sounds like a proof to Rav Chiya bar Ashi's position. Damar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, mashmol. Te'enim shitzamku bi'ibihem. Figs that dried out be'ibihem in their place of growth, meaning on the branches, on the twigs, mitam'ot tumat ochlim. They have a din of tumat ochlim. V'atolish mehem b'shabbat chayav chadas. Nevertheless, if you pick them on Shabbos, you're chayav for picking. Well, if you're chayav for picking, what does that mean? That they're mechubarim, that they're still considered mechubar lekarka. If you're mechubar lekarka, you can't be mekabel tuma. So how could it be? You have tati desatre. You're saying that they're detached enough to be tumat ochlim, but they're not a detached enough to be patur on Shabbat. You're chayav on Shabbat for them. That's exactly like our case here. Like this piece of aver that's hanging off the behema. It's hanging off the behema. It's tamei tumat ochlim. Well, it's ochel. It sounds like it's detached. But it's not mitamei tumat nevela because it's not considered aver minachayya because it's not detached. So you're playing both sides of it. Same thing over here by the teinim. You have both sides. It's mitamei tumat ochlim, but it's still considered attached. So lema mesayale. Let's say that this is a proof to that position. Yirakot, vegetables, shisim, kubi, behem, that dried out in their place of growth, kigong, examples, hakruv, the cabbage, vadlat, and the gourds, ein mitamim tumat ochlim. They are not mitamim tumat ochlim. Katzatzan, viyabsham, if he cuts them off, he severs them, viyabsham, and dries them out, tamim tumat ochlim, then they are mitamim tumat ochlim. Where it says, katzatzan, viyabsham, if you cut them and then dry them out, salkadakha, you think that's tamay? It's bamahu. When they harden, they're a piece of wood. They're not ochel anymore. So how would it be tamei if you cut them in order to dry them out? Why should that be considered etz v'almahu? V'amri Yabi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak explains to us that the case here is v'almanat liyabsham. If you cut them with the intent of drying them out, nevertheless, they are still mekabel tuma. Meaning that you would think because the end game or the intent of these vegetable, I mean the kruv and the gourds that you cut here, your end game is to harden them and to dry them out where they will not be edible. So I think when I cut them, they should be able to mimikabo tumat ochlim. The answer is that Ba'almanat Yabsham, it does work that way. Taimo, the reason is that it's Kruvin Delatu. That only because it's cabbage or a gourd. Kevan Yabshan, since if you dry them out, La Bnei Achila Ninhu, they're not considered edible. Hashar Peirot, when it comes to any other vegetable, Mitamei, they would be Tamei. So even though you would dry them out, nevertheless, they would still be considered to be tamei. So again, here you have a case of yirakot, shitzam kubi abihem. You have vegetables that are drying off in their place of growth. When it comes to kuvin delat, they always say that they're nothing, they're zero. But that implies by other vegetables, they would be considered something. Where would they be considered? Tamei tumatochlim, that they could be mekabel tumatochlim. Nevertheless, they're still considered attached. They're bibihem. They're in their place of growth. So echidami. So what's the case here? Idi yabsham hein v'ukseyem. If it's a case where the vegetable dried out, and ukseyem, their stems dried out, pshita. Of course they're considered detached, because there's nothing alive that's keeping them attached to the ground. Elav, below ukseyem. So that case is a case where their stems are still alive. So if their stems are still moist and alive, and they're dried out, what we're suggesting in this statement, or in this braito, is that, what we're suggesting in this Tosefta is that they will be mekabel tumatochlim, yet because their stem's still alive, they're considered mechuber lekarka. So if you pick them on Shabbos, you'll be chayav. But if they dry out, they have a dinner of tumatochlim. So this is again a proof to this position of Reb Chiya bar Ashi, that its name is Shmuel, as well as what our mission is trying to distinguish. Mar says, no. The case there is olam hein v'ukseyem. Both they and their stems dried out. There were two parts to the Tosefta. In Ochanami, the first part of the Tosefta is not a chiddush at all. It's not a chiddush at all that a gourd or a cabbage, when it dries out and its stem dries out, that they're not considered to be tamei. That's not a chiddush at all. The chiddush is in the latter half of the Tosefta. The latter half of the Tosefta says, even if you cut them, the yabsham, even though you severed them in order to dry them out, they still are mekabel tumat ochlim. Even though your intent is to dry them out, nevertheless, they still have a classification of tumat ochel until they do dry out. And that's the chiddush of the Tosefta. Not to come and learn out some inference, a chiddush that's an inference, but rather the breita itself, the Tosefta itself is teaching us that chiddush. Alright, tashma, ilan shen nifsach, you have a tree that shed a branch, ubo peirot, and on that branch are fruits. Harihen kitlushim. Those fruit are considered to be detached. They're no longer attached to the main tree, the branch severed, the fruit on them, they're considered to be detached. Yavshu, if it dried out, harihen kemichubarim, then they're considered attached to the tree. So as opposed to where the branch severs and falls out, all the moist fruit that's on that branch, it's already considered to be severed, talush. It's not considered mechubar lekarka anymore. The fruits that dry out on the tree, this is without a branch severing, they dry out on the tree, kemichubarim, they have a din of mechubar. So my love, how will we explain this? Ma tlushim l'chol divrayim, when that branch severs off, when we say they're detached to gamre, for everything, that's for Shabbos, for Tumah, for Achila, everything, they're considered to be detached. Af mechubarim l'chol divrayim. Also over here, this tree, when we say that the dried fruits are considered mechubar, we consider them mechubar for everything. It means mechubar for Shabbos. Mechubar for Tuma also. Well, Mechubar the Tuma means that you're not Mekabel Tuma. That would go against what we just said before, that there's a distinction between Tumat Ochlim and Shabbat. Even though they're Mechubar for Shabbat, nevertheless, they're considered Talush, the Gabay Tumat Ochlim. When it says Midarya, why do you have to say that? Hakadigito, Hakadigito. When it comes to the branch that's falling off there, when we say Tlushim, they're Tlushim the Gamre. Tlushim the Gamre means they're detached. For Shabbos, they're detached. For Tuma, they're detached for everything. When it comes to mechubar, when we say the dried up foods are mechubar, they're mechubar for what's relevant. Mechubar means for Shabbat. They're relevant in terms of being mechubar. They're considered talush, they're considered to be severed, not completely attached. Okay, we're going to stop over here, again, because the sugi that starts over here is going to run into tomorrow's daf. So we'll leave it for tomorrow.